Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is nice to be back with this congregation. You are a great people. This is a great space. You have a great leader. But I'm beginning to question your judgment. Because a lot of people will have me come preach once. And then sometimes they'll say, maybe it was a bad week. They have me come back twice. But nobody has me come back and preach three times. So I'm beginning to question your judgment. We had a great retreat with your board yesterday, and you probably wonder what kind of stuff goes on in that. And I'm going to share a few stories. I'm not going to share the names to protect the guilty. But at any Swedenborgian meeting, people eventually come to the idea of, this is really a great theology, it's a great message, it's a great church, it's great. Why don't more people know about us? How do we get it out? And somebody on your board shared what her husband had come up with. And he has said, I don't really know what my wife's theology is, the Swedenborg stuff, I don't quite get it. He's talking to a group of guys at a party. And he says, all I know is they have sex in heaven. And all the guys lean forward and say, yeah, sorry, okay, yeah. More about this sweet orgy they are talking about. Now, not to be outdone, one of the women on your board said, well, for a single woman in San Francisco, the whole idea that I'd be a soulmate is what I'm looking forward to. So that's what takes place. These profound theological. And it's very appropriate for the text today, because if you read this text and you sort of look in the Bible, it has a little title, it will say this is a story, a Jesus gospel story about marriage. And it's not. The story is not about marriage. It's actually about our own spiritual growth and development and how we do it. So I'm getting some puzzled looks on faces. How did he go from what I heard him read and where he's going? So I guess you're going to have to stay with me for a little bit here. See if we can unpack this a little bit, because it's a very interesting gospel story. To get us in the context of what's taking place in the story of Jesus and the Sadducees, the religious leaders, Rachel mentioned I'm from Washington, I'm in politics, so I'm going to use a political analogy, if you'll forgive me. But if you're among the, say, 5% who are following the presidential race and the 1% who watched maybe the Democrat debate a few weeks back, Hillary Clinton was asked a question on immigration. And the question was, the governor of your state is giving out licenses to illegal immigrants to drive. Are you aware of this? Have you read anything about this? Okay. And so they said, do you support what he's doing? And of course, if she says, yes, I support what he's doing, she's pro-illegal immigrant, right? And if she says, no, I don't support it, she's now divided in her own party and she's anti-immigrant. That question that they're asking is a question which I call a gotcha question. The questioner doesn't really care about immigration. Doesn't really care about immigration. Doesn't care about illegal immigration, doesn't care about immigrants. I'm asking the question with one goal. The goal is to trick the person I'm asking. So that whatever they say, someone is angry. You follow me? And this is what the state of our political nature is right now as a country. We're just asking questions that we don't care about the real answers. But for weeks, journalists have been talking about Hillary Clinton really blew it on that one. Ha, ha, ha. She didn't really answer it. Ha, ha, ha. No one's saying, what's the immigration plan? You see what I'm saying? It's a gotcha question. So what does that have to do with the gospel? Jesus is being asked a gotcha question. It's not new. It's been around for a while. You may have even participated in a gotcha question at some point in your life, though I'm not looking for confessions. Little context. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He is wrapping up his ministry and his life in this physical earth, and he knows it. And he's headed toward Jerusalem to his arrest, to his execution, and to his resurrection. He knows that. As he moves toward Jerusalem, everybody who cares about him is saying, do not go there. They don't like you there. You are asking all the wrong questions. The establishment is really gunning for you. The establishment, the religious establishment, does not like you because you are asking all the wrong questions. You are shaking up the power elite. You follow me? And as this trip to Jerusalem happens, he goes through almost a gauntlet of questions, of gotcha questions. Do you remember the question about taxes? Should we pay taxes? And that question wasn't about taxes, right? It was, if he says pay taxes, boy, that'll really make some people angry. If he doesn't, we can arrest him right here. They're trying to trap Jesus. He knows the game. So the text is not really about marriage. It's really about asking the wrong question. And we can only imagine how Christ felt as he's headed toward Jerusalem and the establishment. The Sadducees that were mentioned in the text, they are the religious elite. They are sort of very fundamental in their belief. They only believe in the first five books of the Torah, or we'd say the Old Testament. There's no resurrection in there. So they don't believe in resurrection. So they're asking a question about resurrection, which they don't believe in. You follow? They don't care. They don't care about resurrection. They don't believe it. But if he says the wrong thing, we can get him in trouble, and maybe even get him arrested. That's our goal. We are going to keep asking the wrong questions for the wrong reasons, not because we care about the answers, but because we're trying to trap Jesus. That's the context. And here is Jesus probably thinking, I have a few more months, or shorter than that, on this plane, and you are wasting my time by asking questions that you don't care about the answers. Imagine to be in that time and space and history with Jesus and to waste a question, to ask the wrong questions. That's, I think, the profound lesson in the story. This is about asking wrong questions, or put more positively, asking the right questions. In our own lives, we're either asking the wrong questions or we're asking the right questions. The wrong questions meaning we ask things that we don't really care about the answer. We just want to justify the way things are. The right questions are profoundly powerful questions that bring us to a new level of spiritual growth. Now, you are in a church, in a denomination, in a belief system, and in theology that says, we don't say it's okay to ask questions. We don't say it's okay to ask questions. I'm getting some frowns out there. What is he talking about? We say it is absolutely necessary to ask questions. That only by asking questions do we grow spiritually. We cannot inherit faith. We cannot intellectualize faith. We cannot believe it out of duty. We have to believe it because we've asked questions. And in those questions, we've grown spiritually. And then our lives reflect a spiritual change. But it starts with the right questions. That's a pretty cool theology. A few months ago, I was driving with one of our ministers. He's picking up at the airport, and he had his daughter, adolescent, teen daughter in the car. I love adolescents. That's a terrible, that's a terribly tough time. And so we're talking, she got about school and the car and so forth and so on. And she said, oh, by the way, I'm probably not going to come in here and preach on Sunday. I go, okay. All right. Oh, yeah. Well, why? She goes, because this whole God thing and like Swedenborg or anything like that, the God thing, I don't believe it. I actually don't think it's very real. I think it's kind of, you're all like kidding yourselves. And I don't believe in God. And Dad, grabbing the steering wheel. Why is she doing this? I'm a minister. This is my daughter. And why is she doing this in front of me? Because she's 16. That's what you do. You want to embarrass Dad, right? So I got that. And I said to her, that's awesome. That is so awesome. Because you're in a denomination, a faith, and a belief system that says, you can't believe in God until you question. It's not yours until you question. You have to ask questions. So when you say you don't believe in God, amen, hallelujah, keep questioning and keep asking those questions. She looked back and kind of gave me a scowl. That wasn't what I was looking for. Don't piss off my dad if you're like, agreeing with me. No, you're supposed to fight with me. Don't you get it? But it's true. And if we don't ask the right questions, we don't grow. Now, one of the things that I do is I'm an executive coach or a life coach. Some people say I'm a spiritual coach, whatever you call it. But I work with people in their life strategy. And when I'm really good, and it's not too often because I still am a man and a preacher and I talk too much. I can't get away from the answers, right? That's just that I've got the gender, I've got the preacher. Okay. But when I'm really good, I can be quiet. I can ask really great questions. I can say, now, what do you really want to happen? Really? And if I'm good, I'll shut up. And then people at the end of the session will say, wow, you're really great. That was great advice you gave me. And I say, I didn't give any advice. I just asked questions. You gave yourself the advice. You figured it out, but it was asking the right question. So when I do a strategy session like yesterday, if you were there, people say, come on, give us the 5 steps, the 3 principles, the 7 things, we're ready, we've got our pens. What are the 7 habits of highly successful churches? We are ready. Come on. And I said, well, I'm here to ask questions. Everyone's like, oh, no. Questions we've got, okay? You're supposed to be an expert. And the whole day was, what is the best use for this community and the world, for the Lord? What do you really value? What do you value in your life? And if you don't know, take a look at your schedule and your checkbook that's right there. What is the best way to get your message out and to who? These are all questions. And what goals would you like to set? Questions. But framing the questions, the wisdom of your board yesterday was amazing. It was an amazing day. But it was questions, asking the right questions. It's part of our theology, and it's what the Sadducees did not do. So I encourage you to be brave, because it takes courage to ask the right questions. A big chunk of our life is like this. We're looking down at our life, and we're so caught up in it, and we're running on a treadmill, and we're just keeping everything right, and we're just like the Sadducees. Jesus, do not come to this town and do not shake things up. Because if you do, we're going to arrest you and we're going to kill you. So just don't change anything, because we're doing it right. And that can be a message in our life. It takes courage to say, Lord, how can I best be an instrument of your peace in the world? Where does that take me? Lord, how can I be most useful? Lord, how do I overcome these temptations? I don't know how. I need your help. Those profound questions. So, my prayer for all of us today is to not be like the Sadducees and ask the wrong questions. That when we're in the presence of the Lord, and in this space particularly, we ask questions. We celebrate. We question everything in the life of this church and in our lives. Everything is on the table. It's all up for question. And only through that wrestling with the question will we really come to a true faith. Amen.